kids. So I used to do art. I just wrote a poem, too.
All right. I would like to call to order the Education Committee meeting Monday, November 5th, 9:15 a.m. The first item on our agenda is approval of minutes from the October 1st, 2018 meeting. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Our second item on the agenda is public comments. Do we have anyone here from the public to make a comment? You not? All right. Moving on to item three on the agenda, an update from the Charleston County Public Library and the construction of the Wando Mount Pleasant Library. And though he's not here, I would like to thank Bob Brimmer for raising this, Councilman Bob Brimmer for raising this and encouraging us to have the library come present. So we have Nicole Davies. Thank you so much. Come on up to the podium. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I am thrilled to be here. And it's a perfect time, actually, to do an update on the new Wando Mount Pleasant Library. So to give a little bit of context, this again came from the bond initiative that was passed by voters in 2014 for $108.5 million to build five new facilities and then go back and renovate and update our existing branches. So in Mount Pleasant, you all are lucky enough, this will be your third location in Mount Pleasant to have three library branches. So a little bit of context in that the current Mount Pleasant Regional Library, which is actually our busiest library in the entire system of the 16 locations we have, is roughly 14,000 square feet. The Village Library, which is lovely and charming, is only about 1,400 square feet. Your new library that will open is 40,000 square feet. So this is actually the largest library in the construction plan. So we broke ground on that library. We began clearing the site in December of 17, and if the construction schedule stays as is proposed, we should get the keys to that library in February of 2019, and we'll open to the public roughly 8 weeks after that. So in April of 2019, we'll open the doors. So the location will house about 100,000 items, including books, AV materials, and because we have this space, we were able to do some really innovative and creative things in this library. So we'll have a dedicated area for children's, teens, and adults, which will also include their own computer spaces and meeting room spaces. We'll have a really spectacular children's story time room. We'll also have an auditorium that will seat roughly 250 people, and it can be divided into smaller spaces for about 125 each. We'll have four small meeting room / conference room spaces. And the way that we really look at that is those can be divided up for smaller meetings of about 25 people or less. And we'll also have in this facility, this is the only facility that will actually have a digital studio. So when we think about holiday cards, we think about small businesses doing promotional videos, there will be a green screen, there will be editing materials so that you can really put this together and it'll be a wonderful product at the end. We'll have staff there who can help to train you how to use all of those things too. And then we'll have what we're calling, in library land, we call it a maker space. So it's a space that's intended to get messy, so the floor is easy to clean up. And that can be a space where we can house Girl Scout troops or Boy Scout troops where they can do woodworking or craft projects. We can also have quilting groups come in. So really the space can get dirty and then we can just clean it up and it'll be good to go. So we'll also have an extensive amount of public computers, as I mentioned, for each of the age groups. And then we'll also have a dedicated space where we'll do training, computer training. So that will be everything from basic computer skills, where folks, we know there's still a digital divide. Folks still need help with resume writing and getting online, and some of our aging population needs help with some of the great gifts that they get at the holidays, where they get new iPads or tablets and they're learning how to FaceTime or set up accounts. And then we'll also have more advanced classes for business folks. We'll have Wi-Fi throughout the building, and that will also be active for the adjacent outdoor areas. So if you want to take your cup of coffee and go sit outside, because we're going to have beautiful patio space, your Wi-Fi will still keep you connected, so you can spend the day with us. There's a lot that's changing in public libraries, and we're able to showcase a lot of this in this building because it is so large. So we're really very excited to bring on board all of the new things that this building will feature. I know I've given you a lot of content. I'm happy to take questions.
Great, thank you so much. And now that he's here, Bob Brimmer, who's the one who raised this, I thanked him earlier, but now he's present, so I'd like to acknowledge Bob. Bob, did you have anything that you would like, any questions you'd like to ask?
No, Bob Brimmer, 2380 Prestonwood Lane. No, thank you for being here today. We have been getting a lot, I've been getting a lot of correspondence from residents in the North area wondering timeline for
sure.
Being able to enjoy the library. It's been a long time coming.
It has.
Happy to see it come out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any discussion about any kind of cooperative programming with schools that are nearby there as well?
So we actually, in the strategic plan that the board adopted in the fall of 2017, one of the things that we do actually have is the establishment of a programming department. So we're actually bringing in somebody who's going to be looking at system-wide programming. Programming is a big part of what public libraries do today. And so obviously the collection is a big part of what we do, but we do a lot of community programming because it's free, it's open to the public, and we want and welcome everybody to be there. So what I had found is that we didn't always have equity across the system with the 16 branches. Sometimes you have people who are very talented at programming and reach out and work with their community neighbors and schools. And sometimes the branch is too small or they don't have that talent on staff. So I was seeing equity issues that if you had that talent on your staff, your patrons benefited from great programming. And if you didn't, your patrons might not know what they're missing. So we've established a programming department actually and just internally promoted somebody who is a real crackerjack. So she's going to be moving into that position at the end of November. And one of the expectations of that new role is to reach out and establish a stronger community relationships, including with our schools and educators, as well as other nonprofits in the community. So that will definitely be an expectation moving into the future.
I will say that both Mr. Owens and I sit on the Carter Board, and we've made a request to Carter to establish a shelter there with the existing bus stop in front of Wando. And so the idea was that perhaps that could be done in coordination with the opening so that we have better access there as well.
That would be wonderful.
The only other question I would have is there anything from the library standpoint that they need to from the town before the opening, the coordination with traffic or anything else like that? We really don't want anything to get in the way of this opening, sooner the better. So is there anything from your perspective?
No, actually, I mean, the town has been wonderful to work with, and thank you all for that. Truly, you know, I think our biggest challenges were earlier on where we were looking at flood mitigation and different things were right by that roundabout, and so we saw some good water gathering and pooling there earlier in the construction. But and I can pass around, I brought extra sheets, but we're about 75% completed on the building envelope. So, and I can pass these around, you all can take those. And so really, we're almost to the point where we're getting inside now. So there's really very little, I think, that will slow us down. I know everybody's joke that we might actually see snow again this year because of the oddity of our weather systems. But truthfully, because we're so close to kind of sealing the building up, the work will be going on on the interior anyway, so I don't anticipate anything really slowing us down at this point. So we are just as anxious, truthfully, to get this building open as you all. And just to kind of look again at the bigger picture, this is going to be the first of the five libraries to open. The next one won't actually open until the summer of 2019, and then they'll fall from there, moving into 2020, actually. So we are just as anxious to open this first new building as you all are to receive it.
Mr. Kinane, did you have any questions?
A couple questions. The repair or renovation of the existing library, what's the schedule on that?
So we are working right now on the renovation schedule that will follow. You all may know that we're a component unit of the county, so we have to work hand in glove with the county on the timing and the execution of the project. So the directive that I was given was that these buildings, we've got to get these buildings done and then work on the renovation schedule. Hopefully we're going to actually move that along a little bit faster now that all the buildings, the fifth building should break ground here shortly for the construction of that. And so we've been looking at the renovation schedule, cognizant of that. From the library perspective, the last thing we want to do is suspend services for people who can't make it to brick and mortar facilities. So we're looking very intentionally at the closures and how we roll those out. I don't know that we would want to do the village and the regional at the same time, even though Wando's open, because we don't want to close access to both of those locations.
It's going to close for the renovations.
I'm sorry?
The libraries are going to close for the
It will have to close for the renovations. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
The other thing is the traffic impact. There might be more of a question for the town, Eric. The you had Costco, you have Wando, you have Carolina Park, you have a lot of stuff going on out there. Have we looked at what that's going to do to the roads, particularly that traffic circle and getting in and out and all that stuff?
I think our best bet is to continue to monitor it going forward. And like you said, if it starts to receive the volume that it could.
I mean, it's 40,000 square foot building, right?
It's sure. In an already sort of congested area to begin with, and the elementary school right up the road a little bit further. So, yeah.
No, I mean, I travel it regularly, and it's troublesome. So we need to maybe look at that.
Yeah, we will. We will.
And I think it hasn't been, it's on the fact sheet, but so it's the anticipated opening is April 2019, is that correct? Mm-hmm. Is there a big event planned for that grand opening?
We will probably have several events planned. We're working on that now. Actually, we're so excited. Truthfully, we were waiting to get further along in the project to know certainly what the time frame would be, because as you can imagine with construction, the time frame has changed. So we're pretty confident that we're not going to run into much else that will delay anything. So truly April of 2019, now I can't tell you the beginning of April versus the end of April, but we will do a lot around grand opening activities and really probably a whole month worth of activities following the actual opening.
Great. Thank you so much. And then also, I would like to be in touch with you later on about the Old Village Library, mm-hmm. because there are some folks in the community who are interested in potentially fundraising for adding of like a utility room for children's offerings, and that's something I think could be I would like to discuss further with the library.
I think that would be easier to explore also because you all own that building, so that's something that we could absolutely work with the town on. Whereas some of our many of our other buildings are owned by the county, that one is one that you all own.
Yes, Mr. Berman.
Since we have a Mount Pleasant Library now that's called Mount Pleasant Library, having another Mount Pleasant Library, what about the naming of this building? How will it distinguish itself from the other library?
So the official name of this is Wando Mount Pleasant Library. The decision regarding the names was made by the County Council. So the Library Board put together a series of recommendations on what they were hoping the five new libraries would be called, and then ultimately it went to County Council to make that decision. So Wando is the differentiating word.
So would we still be able to rent it? Because I'm the principal for Oceanside.
Sure.
And we are not allowed to rent any county facilities, but I was just super interested in using that for space. Just something, I have no place in my building where I can meet with more than 50 people in the classroom. So we were super interested in renting and using that.
Yeah, so we don't actually charge. So, right, so.
We can still reserve it.
Yes, absolutely.
And if you guys need anything, I'm the principal for Oceanside.
Terrific.
Which is right down.
Right. Nice to meet you.
650 kids.
That's wonderful.
Because we don't have a media center. Mm-hmm. So they're really going to be using that place a lot.
Yeah, it's really going to be spectacular. And again, because we had the size, all of our new facilities are actually going to include children, teen, and adult areas. Mm-hmm. But again, because we have the square footage in this one, the teen area is quite sizable, as is the children's area. So it will really be nice that everybody feels like they've got their own space in the library. And lots of, the other thing I just want to mention too, just thinking about students, we're going to have small meeting room spaces, which will just be 4 to 6 people, which is great for students to come together and collaborate, or small businesses to get together and brainstorm. The days of the library being a quiet repository of books is over. We want to recognize that people want to do multiple things in our space. So we will have quiet areas where people can be reflective and just have a moment to pause from everything that's going on in the world. But we'll also have spaces where you can get together and make noise and collaborate and be together. So because we know that that's also a need in the community, and it's a need that we can meet where you're not feeling like there's an expectation to purchase a beverage or poach Wi-Fi from a for-profit business. The idea is that that you can come and stay as long as you want, with no expectation to buy anything. So we're going to have those spaces as well for adults, teens, and kids to gather and to work on projects. And so we want to make sure that those spaces existed as well.
Mr. Cunane, I know you had another question.
Yes, that Old Village Library at 1,400 square feet, is that the smallest one in the system?
There's actually a smaller one in St. Paul. Our St. Paul branch, Hollywood St. Paul, is actually just about 1,200 square feet. And then our McClellanville branch, I think, has everybody beat because I think they're just about 1,000 square feet.
Okay, so the next question is the system open to other spaces for similar small opportunities?
So it's just, it's a funding challenge. So again, our funding comes through your tax dollars through the county. And so it's just, if we would love to have as many libraries as possible.
They'd be open to donated space and having it in a community, like these pool clubhouses all over the different developments have space.
We just have to have an operating budget to have it staffed.
What's the budget on that one every year from your end? I know the town has a budget on
it's about $19 million is what we get from the county.
No, I mean that 1,400, the smaller ones.
I don't know off the top of my head. I'd have to look at the staffing. And it also depends on the hours that we're open and things like that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Nicole. Do you have anything else you'd like to add on the Wando? Or?
No, I'm just thankful for the opportunity to come and share with you.
No, we really appreciate it. And we're looking forward to having this added to our town. It's going to be a great asset for the community.
It will.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
All right, our next item on the agenda is a presentation by Brenda Corley, principal at Oceanside Collegiate Academy.
Hello. Up here? Okay. Well, the presentation is not...
Oh, you want to sit next to...
So, I may just... Can I...
Hold on.
I'm trying to figure out how... It came through.
I think I got you.
The firewall was stopping it. So, can everybody...
I think you need to be at the microphone. Thank you.
All right, I can just start talking. So how long do I have? Because I could talk about Oceanside.
About 20 minutes.
You have about 20 minutes. Oh,
I won't go that long, I promise. So my name is Brenda Corley. I'm the principal of Oceanside Collegiate Academy. We are a free public charter high school here in Mount Pleasant. We're on Faison Road right in front of the airport. And I think me coming from a traditional education background, this is my first experience with charter schools. I've been in the business of educating children for about 20 years or so. And I just wanted to share with you guys just some of the coolest different things about Oceanside that maybe people don't know still. I know we had Mayor Haney and Councilman Santos and Councilwoman Whitley visit the school, and are really trying to make a concerted effort to get our message out there so that people understand charter schools a little bit better. Oh, here we go. So our building is built for, we could house 350 students each session. So we have two sessions. Our kids either go to a morning session or an afternoon session. The morning session is from 7:30 to 11:30. Afternoon session is from 11:30 to 3:30. So we have built our bell schedule around the big comprehensive high school down the street so we don't affect traffic and we can give everybody time to get in and out without getting stuck in that school's traffic. So our mission is all based around serving students in a small, safe environment. As I said, we will never go over 675 to 700. This next coming up year will be our first year that we are full, we're on a lottery. We have 150 spots, which 475 students are trying to get into. So we're going to hold our second lottery November the 13th at 5:30. So we're super excited. Trying to make it a happy thing. I tried to make it a happy thing last lottery, and it was happy for the first 150. But after that, it got really, people started crying, and it got super sad. So I'm not looking forward to it this year. So as you can tell, our end of course scores, our kids scored higher than the district, the state, the district meaning the South Carolina Charter School District, Charleston County, and the state of South Carolina. So our kids are finding huge amounts of success. We are an honors curriculum. 9th and 10th grade and 11th and 12th grade, our kids are taking a full dual enrollment or college curriculum. A student graduating from Oceanside is able to graduate high school with a high school diploma as well as up to 58 college credits. This has been, we started with 20 seniors our first year. Those 20 seniors, 10 of them were stellar, amazing kids. They were going to make it no matter what. The other 10 were escaping other stuff, and you can just imagine who would transfer to a school their senior year. So we got them out, but it was a battle, you know, but it took all of us. But this last year, 77 seniors brought in $3.5 million in scholarships, academic and athletic scholarships. So this year's seniors will have been with me for 3 years now, so I'm really looking forward to what they're going to do, what amazing things they're going to do once they leave Oceanside. Our goal this year for those seniors is $7 million in academic and athletic scholarships, which is an ungodly amount. So 80% of our juniors and seniors this year, our juniors are taking college classes. 90% of all seniors are taking college classes. Next year, we've had 95% of all 10th graders qualified to take college classes in the fall. And I don't know if you guys know what that means, but that means that we are proving that we're getting those kids ready to take college classes as a junior. Elite athletics, we have 19 sports, 29 teams. Last year, we took home 2 state championships, even though we were not members of the high school league. We were at-large members, but lacrosse, golf, and swimming will let you compete for a state championship, even though you're not a member of the high school league. So we took home 2 of those trophies. This year, tonight, our tennis team and our volleyball team are playing for lower state championships. Our golf ladies team just brought home their 2nd state championship. Cross country is growing. We're thinking about adding wrestling next year. I think as we get more settled in the community and we can look at how the budget's coming and how much money's taken us to do what we want to do, we're going to try to keep adding programs. And the community is very interested in wrestling, so that's going to be the next one that we're going to bring on. Thinking about doing track after that. Fiscally responsible, if I could leave you guys with one message, is that we are, as a school leader for a charter school, if you compare a school leader for a charter school versus a school leader for a comprehensive traditional high school, I am giving the freedom to make budget decisions in the building. We gave our teachers a performance-based bonus last year, ranging from $6,000 to $11,000 last year. I don't know if you guys have ever been sent a thank you note for doing a good job. And those are cool. I love to get those. But being able to write those teachers a check for doing a good job was the best day of my career so far. I felt like Oprah. And you actually get to tell them why they earned that money, what they did, what extra stuff they did. So as you can tell, OCA, it cost us, we spent $9,500 to do what it cost Charleston County, $17,000. There's a lot of reasons for that. I could be here all day talking to you guys about that, but those are facts, that's number. So we are educating kids for almost half as much. In summary, so the fiscal responsibility, the freedom to make decisions that are best for kids, quicker and faster than a comprehensive traditional school district does, our schedule and the ability for our kids to earn dual enrollment are some of the things which make Oceanside a great place. You know, we're not for everybody, we're for a targeted audience, but for those 675, 700 kids that can be land sharks, it's an amazing thing. If you have any questions, let me know.
You, Mr. Kinane, do you have any questions?
Just wanted to know, when are you opening a junior high?
So, you know, I thought, between us, well, no, it's actually, I thought I had a building that I could afford, but it's not going to get past Department of Transportation. They're worried about stacking, so traffic, even though I told them we'd work around the traditional high school down the street, we'd work around their traffic, but they're worried about that many cars parked and stacking. So, still super interested in it. Now we're looking at some land maybe adjacent to the school, talking to Chris Marino about that. but it's not going to happen next year like I wanted it to. But I sent out a survey, which got like 600 responses right away. I mean, like the next day, it was like, yes. So I think the town's interested. I'd be down for doing it. I think the kids, it would benefit the school, because then I would have those kids from, not get them in ninth grade, but I would have them in sixth grade to get them ready for that college curriculum in 11th grade, which is not easy, guys. You know, these kids are 15 and they're taking college biology, English 101, Western civilization, college algebra. I couldn't have done it, definitely. That's a great question.
People definitely want the junior high crowd would definitely I think fill that up quick.
It will. So. I think I could have sold it. We were going to open it up to 400, and it would have been crazy,
sold
just lottery.
Day one, right?
So but, I'm ready whenever somebody wants to give me some land, I'll build it.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Sharing about another option for our students here in Mount Pleasant. And as that is the last item on our agenda, I'd like to thank you very much for coming again, and I declare this meeting adjourned.